Welcome to the Desperately Seeking Self podcast, the podcast that's exploring the not-so-filtered side of life and giving you no BS strategies, tips, and tools, and maybe a little laughter along the way so you can fall in love with your life again. I'm your host, Brooke Collins. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited today to have Megan Swan, a mindset and wellness professional, coach, professional, and so much more. I am like so excited to have you here today. I can't begin to tell you how like excited I am to dive in. So let's just dive in.
You know, that you can feel that your boundaries are your boundaries in your home, but there's definitely, you know, there's a lot of division even in the how to parent category for people. So I think it's partly this fear of stepping on someone's toes or making it seem like you're criticizing how they're doing it and then having them flip that back on you. But yeah, I definitely agree that there used to be sort of a more community feel to raising children. And yeah, I mean, it's one of the harder things about being an expat is, you know, I found my community, but there's, you know, I have a very, in many scenarios, I have a very different point of view on how I want my kids raised. And back to that sort of beautiful blend that they're going to have, like at the end of the day, it's not so much what I want, you know, they are going to take the more beautiful parts that they resonate with both cultures and, you know, create their own culture. It's actually one of the main reasons that we decided we only have one baby. And then, you know, Jasper, my oldest, was about 13 months and we're,
I love that name.
We were like, okay, he's going to need someone who understands what it is to live between Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and Tuxtla Gutierrez, Chiapas. Like that weird combination of cultural heritage, among other reasons. But I think, yeah, it's like a hot topic. I mean, particularly I'm sort of really happy that I'm beyond the like first years of being a mother, because there's so many topics when your baby is really young about what's the quote unquote best or right or whatever way. And at the end of the day, I think that's one of the gifts of traveling a lot around the world is you see, there isn't one way, there are multiple ways. And one of the best pieces of advice one of my best friends gave me before I became a mom was, you know, at the end of the day, just trust your mother instinct that you know your child better than any teacher, doctor, any point of authority, and tune in with your child and really figure out what works best for you instead of feeling like this external pressure again to do what someone else tells you.
That's probably the number one piece of advice I would say is the most important to me, because there have been times that I've been, you know, you get that feeling of like, you know, when it's not right with your kid specifically, or you know what is right for your kid specifically. And it's interesting because I think that, and tell me if you agree, like I can sense that stuff with myself, even like what is a right choice and what is a wrong choice or decision. But I find it's easier to ignore what's best for me than it is for me to ignore what's best for my kids. Do you find clients you work with feel that way? I don't know if it's putting myself on the back burner necessarily, but I guess it kind of is.
It is. It is. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's really common with women. Like we have been socialized from the get-go to take care of everybody else, make sure everybody has their drinks, everybody's settled, everybody, you know, is comfortable before we even consider like what we want or if we need to sit down or anything like that. And I think because it starts so young, it's just a lot of pressure when we become moms that, again, it's this layer of judgment, I think, that we fear. Part of it is our own judgment, self-judgment, that we're not being the best mother, or we're like I personally have found like a lot of ease just accepting my limits. Like I need, in order to be a good mom, like non-negotiables are, you know, for me, like a healthy diet, meditating, ideally like moving my body some way, sometimes that's like three yoga poses. Sometimes it's like a hardcore HIIT thing. Sometimes it's nothing, but it's just understanding that I need to do these things for me to be like the best human I can be. And in order to be, you know, a good mother, I need to be in my optimal wellness. And, for me, that was accepting that I'm not like, bless those women that really do want to spend like hours and hours of quality time with their kids. But I am, you know, like 3 hours of like hardcore quality time where there are no screens or, you know, like, you know, I'm basically in teacher mode, you know, like I'm doing some sort of exercise or playing a board game, or, I mean, I'm not saying that I don't love spending time with my kids, but I think most of us, if we're being really honest with ourselves and we're like, not, you know, we're not talking about watching a movie. We're talking about like actually looking them in the eye, like 100% of your attention. Most of us cannot do that. You know, certainly not, nobody can do it 24/7, but most of us are feeling like we should be doing it for many more hours than anyone's really capable of. So,
I find that on vacation, when I get into an uninterrupted space and I'm like conscious about not having a phone and really like plugging in. I mean, if I'm being full-blown disclosure with you and the audience listening to the show, like in particular with my youngest, cause she's still young, you know, my older one's 16. So we're starting to find more common things that we're interested in together, but I mean, after like, there's only so long I can play in the pool and like, or the be at the beach and like answer the questions. And before I'm like, okay, tag, you're it to my husband and tap myself out. So, and it's a lot shorter than 3 hours most of the time.
Well, and I think this goes back to the shift in parenting. Like, you know, my mom would say, nobody expected us to play with you when you were like, nobody was playing with you. No, the kids played with the kids or the kids played alone. And I think that is maybe a disservice that I've made it okay to say, no, you know what? You have like 150 toys, like go find something to do, invent a new game, you know, stare out the window, go look for bugs, pick up some leaves. Like it needs to be okay for them to entertain themselves. Otherwise, we're doing them a huge disservice.
Yeah. At home, I'm the type of mom that's like, I'm not your friend, I'm your mom. So figure it out kind of thing, you know, like, but on vacation, I think that's where isn't it weird how I'm like, can unearth things just talking to people. But I put pressure on myself on vacation to create this like euphoria for my kids of like, oh, remember that time when you would throw me in the pool? And it was, but really like, that's not how they're going to remember it, how they remember it, regardless of what I'm trying to do. So it's the pressure though, that I put on myself, because I think I do, I want it to be perfect. That's probably the reason why, is the perfection aspect or Insta worthy or whatever, you know, BS I come up with. I want to have good pictures and, you know,
I'd rather be present. Yeah, one thing that's helped me a lot, and I mean, obviously, you know, kids need to sort of get to a certain age before this is applicable, but I think, even as a young mom, like the moment that I started just sort of talking out loud and narrating what I was doing instead of, you know, whether it be like reading an article on my phone or whatever I was doing, just kind of voicing what was going on in my head, because that helps them connect to you. Whereas, I don't know, I think maybe this also circles back to our whole, like the dichotomy between cultures that focus on the group and cultures that focus on the individual. You know, we tend in our North American culture to just kind of live in our heads a lot and, you know, think that, we should have all, you know, we're like doing everything internally and your child isn't appreciating like how many tabs you have open or what you're thinking or what's going on. And have found that when I just, you know, take a step back, take a break and say, oh, I'm researching X, Y, Z. And like, even if they don't really understand like exactly everything that's going on, they just feel like a part of your life. Like, I think we can also let go of this idea that there needs to be, you know, you can make anything kid appropriate, you know, like it doesn't have to be, you know, I personally can play Lego. I'm happy to like break open a brand new thing of do the whole thing with my kids. But well, when we play Lego, I get joy out of sorting things into colors, the Marie Kondo thing, right? So they play their Lego and I'm like, they're present, but I don't get joy out of like creating a new spaceship. That just doesn't bring me joy, but I get joy out of like putting all the blue Legos in a blue box. And so I'm like there and I'm present and we're talking and I'm interacting, but I'm not trying to pretend that
you're building a spaceship.
Yeah.
Well, I think that goes like into my next couple questions, because I've been looking at, first of all, I noticed the first thing I saw when I went to your website, and anyone who visits Megan's website from listening to this episode will instantly click, oh God, retreat. People are doing retreats. So that like drew me right in, because I'm a wanderluster. Like, I was a flight attendant. I mean, I love to travel. Albeit with my husband more so than as a family, you know, I love to travel and like see cultures and just open my eyes to the world around me, because it is so different. And I feel like no matter how old I am, no matter where I go, I learn something about myself and I learn something about other places in the world. And, that to me just like sparks joy. So your retreat, I'm like, oh, I got to see what this is. And this Be Well retreat that you have looks like the most incredible. You are planning something big, because this looks like it's going to be such a powerful shift for people.
Yeah.
The resort thing is so overwhelming, or like retreat and clicking into these beautiful places and resorts. It's so overwhelming. I can't even think of starting the process. So what made you decide to jump into retreat world?
Well, it was a decision. My good dear friend, we fondly refer to each other as work wives. So my work wife, Britt Gustafson, and I, we met through a coaching container at the beginning of 2020, the beginning of the pandemic in March of 2020. And we've kind of collaborated here and there ever since. And, you know, basically we just thought it would be really amazing to design an event that like we would want to go to. And that's kind of our main inspiration in that, like, women in particular, but I would say all of us humans post-pandemic are craving like intimate platonic relationships where we can feel that, you know, we can share whatever's on our minds and get that like human interaction that we've been missing, and connecting with people like energetically, and also just feeling seen and heard in ways that we felt very isolated. I will speak for myself, but I think most people can on some level identify, like, on the one hand, you're like stuck in a house with a bunch of people that you love, or maybe not, but you had this like intensifying of certain relationships. But I feel like in general, even pre-pandemic, we as women, like, at some point put like our own socialization or connecting with other women like on the back burner. Like, sometimes it's like a society thing that we're like, we are socialized to compete with each other more than connect. I think that's part of it. But also just like as busy moms, you know, like it just becomes another thing on our to-do list to sit down and have like a deep 1 hour heart-to-heart with a girlfriend over the phone. That seems like not the best use of our time, wasting time in air quotes, right? And this myth that we're like keeping up with people through social media, you know, like social media is so curated. No one is, I mean, okay. Like, some people are sharing teary-eyed pictures, but most people are sharing like a very curated version of their life. They're highlighting their wins. They're, you know, they're maybe sharing some version of I'm not okay, but it's not even just that. It's just like catching up with people still needs to happen. You still need to have those one-on-one conversations. And so anyway, back to the retreat, we wanted to create this container where Tulum is like an energetic vortex, similar to Sedona in the desert in the United States. So it's this like partly for the history, the geological history, but also the cultural history of the Mayans. And I would argue because it's this place where thousands of energy healers now like choose to live and have made this, you know, when I first went there, when I was backpacking the first 3 months in my time here in Mexico, that was 12 years ago now. It was this, like, it wasn't even a town. It was this road of hotels. And now it is like a full on town of energy healers and all of these sort of like-minded people. And yeah, Amana Sala, which is the resort. It's like a eco-chic resort where we're having it. We decided there because this is the first time that she and I are doing this kind of event, and we wanted to have like some sort of structure and support. I think maybe moving forward, we might do, because I feel so comfortable here in Mexico, we might do something like outside of a resort in the future. But for this version, you know, like they were in sync in terms of, you know, the aesthetic, the type of space, the plant-based food, all the things. They have so many, there's a spa there, so many other like cultural events that are going to be weaved in, like local sound baths and Mayan mud healing baths and the Temazcal, which is basically like a traditional healing practice where you go in a sauna, which is like a hand-built sauna. And it's just different. It's like with herbs and smoke and different things. And yeah, we're just so excited. So she's a Reiki master healer and mindful life coach. And I bring the overall wellness, and I focus on other layers of energetic healing. And so I think it's like this perfect marriage where we're bringing like a very holistic and complete reboot, energetic reboot for women that just know, whether it's just like post pandemic, like not clear on where we're going next kind of energy, and they want a reboot, or they know they need to do something and they just can't find that clarity or that confidence really to make that big move in their lives.
Yeah. Sign me up. I'm like already there. This is like, it just is. If whoever's listening to this episode, you know, I think when you have someone of your caliber who can do like, has the yoga, has the education, right, about what goes in your body, how to feed your body, how to nourish your body, how to stretch your body so that, you know, you're physically, you know, mind, body, spirit, like mind and body are moving along. You add the Reiki part with your work wife, but also you have the ability, just being so empathic, you know, to heal energetically also. And I think that's something missing in Western culture. I've always thought that, but the whole energetic platform is missing. And to go to a town like Tulum, where it is like tons of energy healers collectively in a space, I mean, I can't even imagine what you'd pick up walking in to the space. I mean, it's got to just be just this powerful influx of holy cow, like these people are all kind of same ideas, all kind of healthy, you know, moving forward, healing space. I just think it's so powerful. And then, you know, you take your experience with health, holistic health, nutritional health coaching, but then you take the emotional aspects of things that you cover. And it's an incredible a gift to be able to talk to you, number one, but just share space and kind of bounce things around with you. Cause I think that I love people who, even though you have a, I'm air quoting niche, cause we're both entrepreneurs, right? But like, you just have such an all-encompassing knowledge of life, that experience that's there. You know, you don't drink alcohol, you're sober curious, you get into that. There's so many places that you can put your foot and say, oh, hey, I've been here, I've done that. And to me, instead of competing, like most women do tend to lean into, I love to just uplift and empower other women, because I know that I can learn from somebody like you and someone who just knows through their own experiences that I know that you only have to be one step ahead of me for me to learn like so much from somebody. So I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today and share just even in a conversation, just the wealth of knowledge that you have about life. And I don't know, it's fun to talk to you, Megan.
Oh, wow. That was very lovely, Brooke. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being here. And yeah, I think that's definitely one of my superpowers is, you know, intuitively connecting the dots for people in many ways that they haven't seen how events and how their feelings maybe are really much more aligned than they see. And most of my clients would say that, you know, holding non-judgmental, compassionate space for people is something I do very well, partly because, you know, I'm very open, at least on Instagram, you know, like I've lived many lives. I've had, you know, lots of things happen to me. I'm fortunate that I haven't had, any capital T traumas, if you will, but I think sometimes we undermine, you know, a lot of things that we put up with as women, and it sort of like becomes this just like buildup that weighs us down, and we dim our own light, and instead of like really, really stepping into our power, we as individuals are extremely powerful. We can really rewrite our own story and have an impact on the world, or maybe just on our own children, or whatever the dream is for you, and live more in alignment. And sometimes I think that seems really hard for people to, you know, it is hard to change your habits. I won't make it sound like it's something that's easy to do, but that's what's unique about my approach. I really work with people to do it in a slow, gradual way so that they can do it for a lifetime instead of, you know, looking at something as a quick fix. You know, we've oftentimes taken decades to get into the patterns that we're currently in, and it's not possible to do a 180 in your behavior in 21 days. So the retreat is going to be like an incredible sphere of energy for these women. We are, what's maybe even more unique about it is we're both, they're going to be group coaching on either side of the event. So the women arrive and they feel like they're already in tune and connected and clear on what their intention is going in. And sometimes like, yeah, I know, I feel like if, you know, if you're called, like, first of all, just reach out to Britt and we're happy to like jump on a call and clarify any doubts you have. But, you know, if you've, even if it's like in your imagination, usually that's a sign from the universe that there's something there for you. At least that's how I live my life.
Definitely. So, if you guys go to the website and you look at the retreat, all you need to do is look at the pictures of the place that they're hosting it. And you're there on top of all the incredible experience options that they have for you within the retreat and the things that you're going to get from it. Just the beauty of what's around you is incredible. So aside from wonderful retreats and your podcast and just being in general awesome, what other, how else do you work with clients?
Sure. Well, mostly I work one-on-one with people. I design custom approachable wellness lifestyles for ambitious women. So more often than not, women come to me when they just feel stuck in whatever their current either career or life situation, and they just feel like they're not getting, you know, traction on their wellness, or they feel like wellness is like just more things on their to-do list and doesn't really feel like something that's part of who they are. They're not embodying And so that's where the custom and approachable, like there's so much information like on every topic, but wellness included. And I think we just tend to get overwhelmed. And so then we either do nothing or we're like burning ourselves out trying to keep up with the wellness trends. So for me, it's usually like a process of figuring out like, no, what are the few things that you personally need in your toolbox to feel like you're thriving opposed to just surviving? And for everyone, it's very different. There's just like two bodies, you know, no woman has the same like series of tools that really resonate with her so that she can feel supported on her day to day.
That's awesome. And I like that you cater it to everyone's needs, because I think it is, I find even with the clients I work with, like the wellness aspect becomes a chore and people are too exhausted, women in particular are too exhausted to take it on, or they don't really. I think this mindfulness and wellness is like become this buzz kind of a thing. And in actuality, when you practice it, it's much different than what you read about on Instagram, right? Like it's totally a different type of thing. So I think that you being able to like one-on-one, and just like you said, you can hold space in a non-judgmental in a way that just allows people to sort of word vomit. I'm speaking for myself, but like just to like share, you know, what's on their mind and be able to really like uniquely tailor something and cater it to their needs, which is, I think, how you create sustainable change, right? It's not a one size fits all. I think that's why a lot of people struggle with big corporate box wellness, air quoting things, because it's not a one-stop thing. It's actually very unique to each person.
Yeah. And it really has to take their story and the story they're telling themselves into play, because, you know, you can eat all the kale in the world that you want, but if you are totally unaligned with your career, or, you know, something major is going on in your relationship and you just don't want to address it, your overall wellness is not great. It really needs to be hitting all parts. But at the same time, like back to your point of like the wellness being a chore, it's because we've brought this like more, even more masculine energy to it. It's like a should, it's a to-do, it's action, 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 instead of, you know, feeling confident enough in knowing our body to when we wake up, it's like, what do I feel like doing this morning? Like, yeah, for me, the meditation is pretty much like 99% of the time, that's my non-negotiable, but that might not be true for someone else. Maybe for them, it's going for a walk with the dog or having the cup of coffee with the sunrise and not talking to anybody else for 5 minutes. Like whatever your non-negotiable is, you know, just honoring that, but with a reverence for the ritual and it being like something that nourishes you instead of this thing that you feel guilty if you don't do.
That's actually a perfect way to, because I've gotten into some things and then I start feeling guilty and I'm like, okay, this is not nourishing me. It's becoming another thing to check off that if I don't check off, I'm beating myself up over. So for instance, I like 3 times a week, I have like I go to a bar studio. So I do like a HIIT workout, then I do a strength training once a week, and then I do a barre, like the ballet stuff. So I 6 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, like that's where you're going to find me. Cause I, even if I don't want to get up when it's dark and rainy, like this morning, like I know that I'm going to feel so good that it is a non-negotiable, like get up, you're going to feel better in an hour. It's going to be different, you know? And every time I'm like, yes. And there is no guilt that goes with it. It just nourishes my body physically. And then obviously, you know, I add in my practices of meditation or just, you know, reading the newspaper sometimes for me is a form of meditation, like, you know, that kind of stuff. So non-negotiating is a big thing that a lot of women struggle with, having a non-negotiable, because everything seems negotiable when you put yourself on the back burner all the time. So I think finding that thing is probably pretty important for most people.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, I teach my clients just to be more intuitive with themselves and to trust that inner voice so that you know, when your non-negotiable shifts after a couple of years and like, that's not resonating with you anymore, it's okay to start something else and just let that go. And that doesn't have to mean that you're not that person anymore. You know, the really, like, particularly as women, we need to give ourselves permission with this ebb and flow in a given month, within the seasons, in the phases of our lives. And just take that layer of stress, which self-judgment is, off the table, and just trust that, you know, if your body's telling you to just cozy in with the book one day, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
All right. So it's been wonderful talking to you. I'm like, so glad that you came on. I'm so glad to have been able to meet you and learn more about you. And, just even seeing you on social media is cool. So where can people find you if they want to work with you or if they're looking to go for the retreat?
Well, everything's on the website. It's meganswanwellness.com. Otherwise, I spend most of my time on Instagram at meganswanwellness. So you can hit me up in the DMs or you can contact me through the website. If you have any questions about the retreat, please do. I'm more than happy to get into all the details.
That's so exciting. And I'll link all that in the show notes. So thanks for coming on. And one quick thing, what is one thing that helped you in your life that you could, a piece of advice you would give to, say, a younger woman, like just to find a little bit more confidence in themselves?
Yeah, I think it goes back to that inner voice, you know, like if you're feeling inexplicably pulled to do something, even if it makes, like, it's not going to be easy, it's not going to be, it might make the rest of your decisions look messy or I don't know, but it just won't leave you alone. That message that you should be doing something else, or a call to, like, you know, take a trip or just do something different, try something new, to really tune into that voice and just give it a chance. Like, it might not be, you know, you can do like a smaller, quote unquote, safer version of it first, maybe if you're really, but I've learned in my coaching as a mindset coach, you know, you can pretty much always reframe fear as excitement if with a little bit of rewriting that story. And it's just, life becomes so much more exciting when you're living with a little bit of fire under your bum.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's perfect. That's perfect. So thank you so much for coming on. And I hope to have you on again sometime in the future.
No, thanks, Brooke. It's been a pleasure.
All right, thank you. Loved this episode of the Desperately Seeking Self podcast? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. I really appreciate it. And thanks for listening. For free resources and materials, head over to my website at innovativecoachbrooke.com. Thanks so much. Have a good week.